the Anime Syndicate Podcast. My name is Frank, and I'm joined here with Josh.
Yo. What are you looking at me for?
Plugs.
Oh, you're not going to give what we're going to talk about today first?
Oh, after? You do the plugs first.
I know. I was just curious if we were to change it up. But anyways, before we get to our topic.
You don't tell me you want
to
change it up 2 seconds or right in the middle where we're doing something.
Yeah, no, I do shit at the literal last possible. Not only at the last possible second, but the second after it should have actually happened. But anyways, before we get to our main topic today, if you want to listen to more of our stuff, you can go to GameRageMagazine.com. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at GameRageMagazine, Twitter/X at GameRageMag. YouTube is probably the easiest way to listen to everything we do. All 18 fucking podcasts, you can go listen on YouTube. And you can listen to the Game Rage Magazine Well, just type in Game Rage Magazine on YouTube. Additionally, since you're listening to this show and you like anime, you love the animes, you might as well go follow Frank at anime_syndicate_podcast. Additionally, if you like music, you should give Adam a try and go follow him at All Gas No Trash Official because he is losing followers like his hair is on fire. It's fucking hilarious. So go help him out over there. And it's the music snobs. That's what it is. It's because we have opinions about music, and the music snobs don't like it. But if you're just, you know.
Yeah, but you have completely wrong opinions about anime. But then again, we don't have followers to lose, though.
That's a good point. Well, we have listeners to lose, and the listeners keep rising. So that must mean that they at least
are more tolerant.
Yeah, tolerant. They must be very tolerant. I mean, they must know I'm special. That's what it is. But you can go follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official, and you can go listen to the All Gas No Trash Podcast. Additionally, I want to do two additional little plugs for a couple of our other podcasts. Because if you like anime, I really think that you probably are also into tabletop gaming. And you should go listen to A Slice of Dice, which is the Game Rage tabletop RPG, or just tabletop gaming in general podcast. We play Dungeons & Dragons. We did a little bit of Warhammer, like tabletop RPG, and that didn't go so good. But please do us a favor. I know everybody who listens to those type of podcasts, they want to be completionists, and they want to listen to the first episode. Our first episode is trash. It's called They See Me Rolling, and we just roll our characters. So we have a shit ton of people listen to it, but then they don't give us a chance and listen to when we actually play the game. Because they didn't like us just rolling characters, I guess. So maybe if you don't want to hear us do that, because it's kind of boring. I mean, we spice it up and say shit, but it's also a little boring. So if you don't want to hear that, then just go to episode number 2. So you can hear us actually start playing the game. So there's that. And also, we are doing a test, and I wanted to see if the Star Wars pod, the Game Rage Star Wars podcast, because we haven't done it basically since we started. And I want to see if we, because I'd like to start talking about Star Wars consistently again. And even if it's not about super current, a ton of new shit, even going back and talking about the old shit, like the Clone Wars animated series, you know, the 3D animated series, Rebels, stuff like that. I still feel that itch to talk about Star Wars for some reason again. So I want to do an experiment, and I want to see if we can get 15 downloads in 7 days. So we're going to put out an episode. It's probably going to be out at the same time this one is. So I just want to see if we can get 15. If we get 15 downloads in the first 7 days on that podcast, we're going to restart it. We're going to do it again. We're going to go back to doing it consistently, just to see if there's any interest in it. So if you like Star Wars, go listen to us over there. There's already a few other episodes that are up that we did at the beginning. It was just us reviewing the original trilogy and, like, I think episode 1 we got to. So other than that, go check it out, Game Rage Star Wars, and, you know, just see what you think. Anyways, that's the end of the plugs for now. All right. Well, you want to pause it? Oh, all right. Stand by.
I don't remember where we left off because you openly said pause.
I don't think that would have changed you not remembering where we left off.
No, it would have.
Well, I did the plugs.
The energy of me exploding the rage I had on you, It would have gone to memory.
True. Good point. You spent more bandwidth on anger than you did memory. I get
bandwidth.
You.
That's a good way. That's a good way of doing it.
I'm Josh. Well, you already said who we were. Ruben, conspicuous by his absence. I think we may have killed him. Hopefully he'll be back next episode after, you know, recovering from the brutal sushi all you can eat that we made him do.
It's funny because that hair bad missed you by a hair.
Mm-hmm. I felt the wind go by. Anyways, all right. Well, go ahead. Well, I think you were going to get into what we were going to be discussing today, perhaps.
Today, I wanted to have you react slash discuss scenes from animes. Not that they're like the greatest scenes, but scenes that like caught me.
Okay, they like sucked you in.
Yeah, even though like not all of them are action or the greatest scenes, it's just moments that made me remember the show. Even if they, some of them are some of the greatest moments of the show, and some of them are just like random moments that people would be like, why?
Oh, okay.
It's just, and there's no particular order, it's just random scenes.
Yeah, yeah, all right, fair enough. All right, so what's the first scene we're going to be setting up?
The introduction of Escanor, the Sin of Pride from the Seven Deadly Sins.
Okay, all right. So if you want to watch along with us, we'll promote whatever YouTube channel this is on, because we're using it to watch. We're not going to play it, obviously, but you can go search it on YouTube and watch along with us.
Well, I got to find it first.
And obviously, while you're there, you may as well just go to Game Rage Magazine and subscribe, if you haven't already, to the Game Rage YouTube channel, so you can get all of our podcasts and all of our content immediately as soon as it is available. Who's it? Escanor?
Yes. All right, ready?
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Which is the video on there?
Oh, let's watch it and then we'll say what it is.
Got it. All right.
All right. So that was Galad versus Escanor, otherwise known as Escanor's debut in the Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah. That was fucking cool.
You think?
I have not seen that anime, right? So right. I have no idea what the fuck's going on. So you kind of explained me the backstory a little bit, but yeah, that was cool. That was a cool thing to see this guy who's basically this small weakling and this demon's like taunting him. And basically he's like, oh, by the way, you don't know who I am, motherfucker. And then he literally, he's like the Hulk. He literally fucking rips out of his clothes and just expands into this like giant fucking 85 pack fucking muscle guy.
And then again, being the Sin of Pride, like, I'm the one that stands above all races.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and then he fucking makes this demon bitch out on his own commandment.
Yeah, which is funny.
They didn't show it in the video, but that chick, I forgot what commandment she is. But she straight up just removes his soul.
God damn.
And eats it. But because he's a child, he is the one loved by the sun, his soul ends up burning her from the inside out.
God damn. And then what? He goes back into his body or whatever?
He goes back into his body.
So he basically kills both of them.
No, he kills... Technically, he defeats both of them.
Okay.
But they're both alive.
Oh, okay.
But the guy the one he was fighting there, the one that gets turned to stone?
Yeah.
What's the word? He doesn't play a role for the rest of the series.
Oh, I got you.
They show him alive like 10 for like 10 seconds and he's actually killed.
Oh, I got you.
That bitch ends up surviving, but Morty ends up killing, gets killed or something later on.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Yeah, so, you know, one thing that I do.
I will have to say one thing before you. Sorry, go ahead. You know.
No, I was just gonna say I there's one thing that I do sort of. I don't know if I need this more in my anime, but permadeath.
Okay, like, but that's asking a lot for shonens.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Shonens aren't gonna give me that. I don't think they're ever gonna give me that. But
to be fair, when a death happens in a shonen, it hits harder than any other
true.
Anime.
I mean, I will say it does because of the fact that we don't see that many true deaths, I guess, or permadeaths in a shonen title. I mean, Naruto's a good example of that.
I was going to bring up Jiraiya.
Yeah, when Jiraiya gets fucking killed, that hits hard because, I mean, we had been known Jiraiya for, what, fucking 200 episodes or even more, maybe? I don't know.
I was going to say, maybe one of the videos I was going to show.
Oh, damn. Well,
well
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
No, yeah, yeah.
But as you're saying, like, they did technically bring him back in Burrito.
Yeah.
But it's not him. It's a clone.
Oh, and that's technically another series, I guess.
And it's not the same person.
It's not the same name. It's the same. Yeah, it's a different. It's a clone, like you said. Yeah.
It doesn't have his memories or anything like that, but it has his abilities and whatever.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
That sounds cheap. I don't know. That just sounds cheap.
I mean, again, that wasn't Kishimoto, from what I understand.
Yeah.
I think Kishimoto took over a little later in Boruto. In Naruto... There is the war arc. where they bring back the dead.
Yeah.
And they don't bring back Jiraiya because that's how powerful of a death it was.
Yeah.
He even said it best, like, having him come back to life and face Naruto, not only would have cheapened it, but there was... His death already gave Naruto the development he needed.
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't need it to happen again.
Right, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm just typing seven deadly sins in the tags thing since we watched it, so we talked about it technically, so...
All right.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what. I feel like it's been working.
I just was curious what you were doing.
Oh, I got you. All right. What do we got next? What do we got up next?
Once again, we're going to stick with Escanor.
Okay, cool.
This is probably one of the greatest scenes in all of anime.
In all of anime?
Yes, because...
I mean, every anime, I mean, Naruto, Gurren Lagann, you're saying this scene's better.
This is up there. No, I'm not saying it's better. Oh, okay. I'd say it's one of the...
All right.
It's one of the greatest scenes, and it's Escanor versus Estarrosa.
All right. Escanor versus Estarrosa. So if you want to follow along, here we go.
Okay.
All right. That was what? Escanor?
Escanor versus Estarrosa.
That was a fucking cool fight.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. Even though, like, I did make the comment, and I do think it's true as to why this looks like it was animated in late 1998 by Dragon Ball Z or Inuyasha. Because that's what it looks like. All the people, their faces, and the animation just seems kind of shitty, but it was made in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So, like... And you said it gets much worse, too.
Oops. Literally, I never finished the series. Because of how... It got so fucking bad. The animation.
I mean, it's... Like I said, if that's early on, that looks bad.
Don't get me wrong. There's some scenes.
Yeah.
Like that fire from
his close-up. Cool.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Looks fucking great. That's where the money went.
Yeah, the money went to that. Oh, my God. You know who voices Escanor?
Who?
Kyle Ebert.
That's why
it's so great, even though he's phoning it in.
Everyone seems like they're phoning in on the English version of this show.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about having you watch, since you hated their JJK abridged series.
Yeah.
I'll see what you think of their Seven Deadly Sins, since you have no idea about the show.
That's true. That might be interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to do that.
Yeah. All right. So what did you think of the scene?
I like that scene. I thought it was interesting. That was a good fight. That was a cool fight. I mean, the concept seems very sound of the whole seven deadly sins, like the concept of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wouldn't be able to get past the fucking animation quality. I can't do it. But that fight scene was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I could. I don't know how many fight scenes are of that quality in the show.
He has every great fight in this show is him.
Escanor?
There's one where he fights Meliodas in his full demon form.
Uh-huh.
And it should be one of the greatest fights of the show, and it looks so fucking... It's great because Escanor is Escanor, but the animation quality is so fucking bad that people are like, the only good thing about this fight is Escanor.
I got you.
Literally 90% of the people who watch the show stop watching after Escanor dies.
Oh, well, you know, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That makes fucking sense.
But like, what do you think about how prideful this motherfucker was?
Oh, yeah, super prideful.
Oh, did you drop a penny?
That was fucking great. Like, sure. did you drop something over there?
Oh, no wonder that attack hurt since it was made from my attack.
Yeah, no wonder that attack actually gave me a slight hint of pain was because it was... level was based on my attack.
Yeah.
So...
You won the fight? Who decided that?
Yeah, true.
Your attack covered the... He goes, your darkness ate my son, and then the sun reappears. Who decided that?
Yeah, that was fucking pretty cool.
Yeah. It's one of the best scenes of the show.
Mm.
Like... Now, this is going to be a weird one. It's early on in One Piece.
Mm-hmm. How early on?
Like third, fourth episode.
Oh, okay.
When they first introduced Sanji.
Okay.
We'll go to that, and then we'll talk about it right now.
All right. All right, that was... Sanji feeding Gin. Or Gin.
Yeah.
Man, that was a good episode. Mm-hmm. Or not a good episode, but a good scene. Because he's like so happy to be fucking eating. Mm-hmm. And he's like letting pride tell him to fuck off, basically. And he's like, look, man, just fucking eat it. If you die, like, if you eat it, you'll be able to look forward to a new tomorrow or whatever. And then he's like fucking just crying as he's eating it. And then fucking Luffy, the stupid ass. Ah, good job, buddy. Now you can join our pirate ship and be our chef. Mm-hmm. That was a good scene.
Yeah, for me, it's like, because he saw the other guys just throw him out.
Yeah.
Essentially to fucking die.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you see it later on in the episode that Sanji went through that. He was stuck on an island where he had no food and water.
Yeah.
And essentially was starving to death.
Right.
So he understood the pain that man was going through better than anybody there.
Right.
Even though this man was a pirate who was there to rob them.
Yeah, pretty much.
He still gave him food because he understood that pain.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know, for me, it's one thing I always... The greatest failure of every government that is out there is that there are people starving.
Yeah, true.
To me, that is the greatest failure.
Indeed.
Every government is guilty. There is no government that is free of that sin.
Yep.
Especially the Soviet Union.
Yep, true story. Nobody ate in the Soviet Union.
There shouldn't be hungry people out in the streets.
Yeah, true.
Don't get me wrong. I understand there's other things, you know. Oh, everyone should have medical care. Everyone should... Everybody should have housing. Everyone should have this. Before all that, it should be food.
Yeah. You gotta eat.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, look at... I mean, the best way I can say is, like, I'm a fucking fat ass. But that doesn't mean I don't understand. I understand that I am in a position where I haven't had to starve. I haven't had to go through that. So I'm like, and for me, I am internally grateful that I live in the land that I live in.
Right, yeah.
That allowed me to be this way.
Right.
But you can't go through any city and not find people on the streets.
Yeah, true.
Sure, a lot of them are there by their own choices.
True.
But there are a lot of kids out there, too.
Yeah.
That just, who don't know when their next meal is coming.
Yep.
And I think this is the scene that kind of awoken. This is the scene that woke me. Or is it, to quote My Hero Academia Bridge? Oh, shit, fam, I'm woke. But, yeah, I don't know. This scene, like, even though it's just a minor part of the episode.
Yeah.
To this day, I still think about this scene randomly.
Yeah.
Especially anytime I see homeless people and stuff like that.
Right, right.
And it's a scene that really touched me.
Yeah.
Which is
what it was meant to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Even though One Piece isn't my favorite fucking show, it's just...
It's a good scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, will be another scene
from One Piece. One Piece?
Another scene that kind of got me to the heart.
Which is?
Zoro takes on all the pain.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll pause it so you can bring it up.
Didn't even tell them what he did.
God damn, that is a powerful fucking scene.
Mm-hmm.
He literally takes it and says, nothing happened here. There's blood everywhere. Like, he's fucking just dripping with blood. He looks like he's been through a fucking Hell in a Cell match with fucking barbed wire bats and shit.
With Undertaker?
Yeah, it looks like the Undertaker threw him off of a Hell in a Cell like 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, yeah, nothing happened here. I'm good.
Again, One Piece isn't one of my favorite shows, but...
But that scene hits hard, man.
Yeah.
That scene's fucking great.
All right. Yeah, it's like... Fucking bro, man. It's a bro moment.
It is a bro moment.
And then not to even tell him that he did it for him.
Yeah. That's even higher of a bro moment.
Because then all he's going to do is make him worry about it.
Yeah, he'll be like, oh my God, I owe this guy everything because he fucking took this pain from me. He literally was my Jesus Christ. He almost died for my sins.
Almost, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, great scene.
Great scene.
All right. All right. So for the next one, it's even the wallpaper on my fucking tablet. It's probably one of the most funniest surreal scenes from Dr. Stone.
All right.
So, yeah.
What season was it from?
The first season.
Okay. All right. I've seen that, so we'll see. Yeah. We'll see if I remember it. All right, go ahead.
Wow. It's just that little tiny part when they place all their bets on Genero fighting Magma in the end, and they have a chance when he tire him out. And they had this whole strategy set up, and nope, literally it's the first match is them two. So the worst possible outcome, and their reaction is just that black and white with those weird ass fucking faces and them just going durr, was the funniest shit. One of the funniest shits of that year for anime in modern time, modern memory.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking hilarious.
I couldn't, if I tell you, I had to pause it. I spent more time laughing at that scene than I did watching the actual episode.
Yeah.
And because I spent the rest of the day just rewinding it just so I can listen to it over and over and over again.
That was fucking hilarious, man. Yeah. That was a funny little scene.
Dr. Stone is full of funny scenes.
But yeah, it does have that comedy fucking shit built into it for sure.
But that shit was fucking, I don't know, dude. I fell out of my bed laughing. Kind of. All right, then. Now, now for actual fucking scenes. The next one is going to be one of the best moments. It's in my top 10 best moments in anime.
Okay.
It's Roy Mustang from Fullmetal Alchemist.
Yeah.
Absolutely devastating fucking lust.
Oh, yeah. That was a good scene. God, Fullmetal Alchemist is such a great fucking anime, man. I don't know if, because like people who just watched Brotherhood, you know, I kind of feel like it's cheating.
I know. You know what's funny? Like I was watching his reactor. His name's Danny. He had a really great thing where he recently reacted to Brotherhood.
Yeah.
And then he went back just to watch the infamous Nina scene.
Ugh.
But from the original.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, oh, you know what? That's actually interesting. Like, because the last thing I saw was Brotherhood. So that's what's fresh in my mind for that Nina scene.
Yeah.
And it fucking shit. And holy shit, it was darker in the original series.
Yeah. Yeah. It really was. And it's just not that I'm saying that it's cheating because like, you're not getting the full story because I mean you are. You're getting the full story plus you know more. It's more streamlined. See,
there he is, Danny Mota.
Yeah. But like, I think it's kind of cheating because like you're getting the higher quality animation. Like we got 2006 animation on fucking whatever Full Metal Alchemist or when did that come out? 2004.
Well, this came out 2009, and this came out a few years after.
Yeah, Brotherhood. So Full Metal Alchemist animated series that came out in fucking 2004. So that we got 2004 fucking animation.
But to be fair, it's only 5 years.
Right, but like the quality and animation is like because, a lot different.
Because Fullmetal Alchemist.
What?
Hold on, I gotta use the restroom real quick.
All right. So I was just saying, I don't think it's cheating in the sense that like, you know, it's. Oh, you didn't get to see it like in the original.
To be fair,
less cinematic anime quality.
To be fair, though, Brotherhood not suffers is what's the opposite of suffering?
Thriving.
Thrives, I guess, or has the benefit, I should say.
Yeah.
Of hindsight,
right?
Because the original series was so goddamn fucking popular.
Yeah.
That. When they went to do this one, they were like, you know what? Do what you gotta do, man. Like,
yeah. True.
Because the only complaint people had about Fullmetal Alchemist was that it did not follow the manga.
Yeah.
This did, and there are no complaints for Brotherhood.
Right, yeah, true, true.
So I'm just saying, so it benefits from
hindsight. Yeah, it does. Hindsight. No, it definitely does, but I just think people, I don't know, maybe it's like they don't appreciate it as much because they didn't watch the original.
But at the same time, look at like that clip I showed you guys last week of the Road to Naruto.
Yeah.
Where it had the fucking, it's hard for me to say modern day because I'm trying to explain what video game graphics like.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got, we went from 360 graphics to Xbox One graphics.
Right, yeah.
It's hard to say that when it comes to anime, but I would say it has more of the updated graphics is the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
I'm saying it looked fucking sick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I'm like, it's a natural progression.
No, it is. It is. It is. So.
So, anyway.
All right. So, this is Roy Mustang versus Lust and fucking her up, basically.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Oh, man. See, yeah, that was fucking awesome. That was a fucking excellent sequence.
Just fucking her, burning her alive.
Yeah, and then she's literally just turning to ash.
Mm-hmm.
As she's still like, dude, when like half her face is burned off, that, goddamn, that was just so good. Fullmetal Alchemist is a great fucking show, man. Has Ruben seen that?
I don't know.
See, we should maybe have him watch Brotherhood, dude. Like, that should be one we throw into the rotation to get him to start watching.
Yeah.
Because, fuck, man, that show is fucking great. And I haven't watched it since, fuck.
I mean, this is also like the first time we get to see Roy be fucking a badass.
Yeah.
And goddamn, does he fucking carves the fucking transmutation circle into his hand because his gloves got destroyed.
Right.
And then he fucking burns his wounds shut so he doesn't bleed out.
Yeah.
And he's ripped as fuck.
Yeah, and he's shredded as fuck. And he fucking melts her. He basically turns her to ash. Mm-hmm. He cremates her alive, basically.
Several times.
Yeah, which is pretty fucking dope.
You know what's funny?
What?
The voice actress for Lust and the voice actor for Roy are married.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Because it's Travis Willingham and Laura Bailey.
Yeah, and they're in a lot of shit, too. And that's one of the things that's interesting about voice actors. Maybe we should do an episode on just voice actors that we like.
Well, they also, they're both on Critical Role.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The voice actors, like, from the early 2000s.
Most of them are on.
They're all in, like, the same anime. They're all in, like, every anime. Because wasn't that many of them for the English dubs.
What's his name? Gaara?
Yeah.
He is played by, oh my god, I can't remember his name.
You want me to look
Brian it up? Brian something.
No. Gaara English. Liam O'Brien.
Liam O'Brien, there it is. Who's also part of Critical Role.
Yeah.
Matt Mercer, he's in everything. We saw Laura Bailey here. Then there's fucking I can't remember her name. She's married to Matt Mercer. Marisha Ray.
Yeah.
Ashley Williams.
I was just looking at like the fucking voice actors for like Samurai 7, because that's one where like all those people are in like every fucking anime.
Yeah. That's a good anime, too.
That is a great anime.
And a fucking amazing movie.
Christopher Sabat. He plays Kikucho.
Isn't he canceled?
Huh?
Isn't he canceled?
I don't know, maybe. But he's a good voice actor, I mean, back then. Mm-hmm. Greg Ayers, that's another one. He's in, like, fucking every anime, dude. Like, his credits list is super long. And again, like, back then in the early 2000s, like, that was it. Like, Lucy Christian, she's another one that was in everything. Yeah, Colleen Klinkenbeard, like, she's another one that was in fucking everything. Which, fuck, man, like, it was a crazy time back then, because now there's quite a variety of voice actors, right? Like, in anime. And before, back then, when there wasn't, you were like, oh, shit, like, because, you know, you only have such limited voice range, obviously. Like, so the characters start sounding like the same ones from other anime. And you almost go for anime that you have, like, oh, if your voice cast is, like, a good one from another anime, you're like, oh, I'm going to check this out. And it turns out, like, oh, man, it is, because the voice cast.
I've had scenes where I've only watched a show because a voice actor I like was in it.
Yeah. True.
I mean, look at fucking, what was it? The Rookie.
Yeah.
I don't like Cops, but because Nathan Fillion's in it,
yeah,
I want to watch it.
True. anyways, what else you got?
Are you done with that?
Yeah, I think we're done with that one. Okay. Yeah, man, Greg Ayers, fucking 272 fucking titles on the voice actor, behindthevoiceactors.com. He's credited with 272 titles, man. God, he's in so much shit. Well, let's do old to new. It's like some of the first shit he was in. God damn, in the 80s. Yeah, he was in a lot of shit, man. Full Metal Panic. Fucking Detective Conan. He's a bunch of people in Detective Conan. Oh, yeah, fucking Gravion. That was another one. I'll mute that. But yeah, fucking. Anyways. All right, what's the next thing we're going to be watching?
Is Gohan going Super Saiyan 2.
All right, cool. All right, let's do it.
Well, there's going to be a little caveat to this because it's not going to be the Funimation or the Ocean dub or even the Japanese version. This one's going to be the Team 4 Star dub.
Oh, okay.
And there's a reason for that.
All right. Let's check it out. All right, see, that's how you do an abridged series. That's right there is how you fucking do it. None of this horseshit Jujutsu Kaisen. What are those fuckheads called?
Smug Squad. Again, they're not doing something that's an emotionally attached system.
Stupid.
It's just something for laughs.
Get out of here.
You can't compare it to something where literally everyone involved in this project has a fucking deep emotional tie to Dragon Ball Z.
Yep.
Especially Kaiser Neko, who, like, Jesus fucking Christ, is this guy a mark for Dragon Ball? Like, I watched the commentaries they did about these shit, and the fucking knowledge this guy has
is insane.
Is insane. Like, respects to him because you can see the love he has for the show.
Yeah.
Where the Smug Squads aren't doing, but that's not the point of this whole thing.
Sorry, I just want to talk shit about them for a minute. But anyways, that's excellent. Excellent, grade A. That might be better than the fucking original.
That's what we talked about a while back with me, you, and Adam. Remember I sent you these three?
Yeah, yeah.
I sent you the English dub, the Japanese dub.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this version, you both agree that the English dub was the best one.
The English dub was the best one, yeah.
And I was making the argument for T4 Star.
Yeah.
Though, I will kind of give it to the English version.
Yeah.
But the Japanese one was not bad.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah.
It was not bad.
That wasn't bad. But.
But to be fair, that song that they were singing.
Yeah.
Was an English version of the Japanese song that played when Gohan went Super Saiyan 2.
Right, yeah. And they made that song, right?
They did. No. It's the English version of the song that was playing when Gohan went Super Saiyan 2.
Yeah.
In the Japanese version.
Right, okay.
They made the lyrics and stuff like that to make it flow and stuff, but the song is from the Japanese version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I forgot who they had singing. He's not part of the team.
Mm.
Even though Masako and Lanny are amazing singers. Mm. Even Takahata, like you'll see later on, he can sing too.
Mm.
Now, the reason I wanted to show you this version, because one, I thought, I have a deep memory of when Goku went Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
I remember being some little fucking kid sitting on my couch, glued to that fucking TV screen.
Yeah.
And I know that when it happened, like, I was eating, like, cereal or some shit or some rice or whatever the fuck I was eating. Because I remember it was Saturday morning because, you know, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And that shit was on the floor. And I'm over there just jumping on the couch like a little fucking idiot. Thinking that was the coolest fucking thing in my life.
Oh, yeah.
When Gohan went Super Saiyan 2, I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And to me, I have a stronger connection to that. Even though I fucking loved Goku going Super Saiyan, it is still an icon. But for me, that, because it's kind of what George Lucas tried to do with Jar Jar Binks, where the kids were supposed to grow up with him.
Yeah.
It was what happened. That was what happened with Gohan for me.
Right, yeah.
I was older than Gohan was when Gohan's like 11 or 12 in this, and I was like 14, 15.
Yeah.
But that scene is just cemented for me forever. And giving props to Team 4 Star, because when I saw that version that I just showed you.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same, but it brought me back to that fucking moment.
Yeah.
It brought me back. Because when Goku was Super Saiyan and Team 4 Star, yeah, it was like, okay, cool. But then it brings me back to when I was a kid and I felt that moment.
Yeah.
This, it did. And it was 100% props to their writing, the way they presented it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a moment that had to be a serious moment. Sure, they cut in some jokes in the speech and stuff like that. But once the transformation started, there were no more jokes.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Goku when he went Super Saiyan 1. When Trunks went Super Saiyan. When Vegeta went Super Saiyan, it was a little bit meant for jokes because the way they treat Vegeta's character.
Right.
But it was still a serious moment. But for me, I don't know, man. This brought me back to when I was a little, when I was like stupid ass teenager watching this and losing my mind.
Yeah.
Once again, thinking, oh my God, this is the coolest shit ever. All this is okay. It's just somebody going blonde.
Yeah, basically.
And then Super Saiyan 2 is just the blonde kid going spiky.
Yeah, yeah.
But now the reason I wanted to bring this one up. Uh-huh. Because in Dragon Ball, it's treated as a triumphant moment where Gohan finally gets his courage to do what he needs to do and become the fighter he was destined to be.
Yeah.
Team Four Star played it more differently.
Right.
Because you saw it in the speech with 16, where 16 was like, you're a bitch, dude. You need to stop this.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to hold true to your pacifism? Great. Everyone's dead.
Yeah.
And you got to be a coward to your last fucking moment.
Yep.
Who fucking wrong? And it's not a triumphant moment.
Right.
This is a fucking tragedy.
Yeah.
Gohan is a child having to pick up the slack for the failures of the adults around him.
Yeah.
He is sacrificing his childhood in order to defeat this monster.
Right.
And that's what 16 is telling him. Like, he's trying to push him over that edge. And yes, I know they were making the Linkin Park jokes, but yes.
Yeah, yeah.
They are literally, he was able to succeed and push him over the limit. And they were talking about this in the commentary. Like, yes, this is a tragedy. This is still a fucking child that has to put the entire weight of the world on his shoulders.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically a child soldier.
Yes. And so, yeah, it's not a, it's played as a triumphant moment in the original. But yeah, if you actually think about it, it is a fucking tragedy that this child has to become a monster to fight this monster.
Yeah.
And sacrifice his childhood.
True.
Sure, later on it's treated off as like, oh, he's fine with it now. But it's like, is he though?
I don't think he is, man.
I mean, even if you look at fucking superheroes, when he goes beast mode, dude, it's like,
yeah,
it's in there. He's damaged.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that T-Force plays it like, hey, this isn't the greatest moment ever. This is a tragedy. Like,
yeah,
this kid is suffering.
Yeah. And personally, like, I think Gohan in the series, in the main modern, like, canon, mm-hmm. I truly believe he is the most powerful being in existence. But because he's so fucked up from all this shit, mm-hmm. it hasn't come out yet.
Well, like, we saw it come out with Beast.
Right. We saw it. Yeah. Like, but I think that's just a fraction of the power that he truly fucking has. Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know what they're going to do in the future. Obviously, you can't. I mean, I think Gohan turns heel at some point.
There is this really cool story out there. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, one of those fan-made animation series.
Yeah.
It's where the Gohan from Trunks' future comes back.
Yeah.
And, like, he's, like, fucking heel. And he's, like, killing. He's, like, fucking pissed off and everything.
Yeah.
There's this really great scene where he's confronting Vegeta. Uh-huh. And he's just, like, when my father died, all your boasting of being the prince of all Saiyans, the prince of the Saiyans, the all-powerful. But when my father died and you needed to step up, you failed. You died and all this shit. And he's talking shit.
Yeah.
He goes, and yeah, you're not even my Vegeta. You're not the real Vegeta. And then he gets into his battle stance. He goes, I just want you to know that the real Vegeta couldn't even go Super Saiyan.
Dang.
Yeah, I was like, damn, that's great.
Damn. That's fucking great.
But yeah, there's like, I don't know, for me, that's why I love this scene. It not only brought me back to that moment, it made it better by pointing out the whole not impurities, but like, again, like, not to be a sound like a broken record, but it's a tragedy. It stops seeing it as a great, even that song, it's all about how sad this is. I mean, it was played up to be, yeah, it's triumphant, but
right,
it didn't feel that way.
Yeah.
And the whole scene, it focused on him crying. Yep. He's crying.
Yeah. He's a kid.
Yeah. And then it disappears because that's it. I can no longer be that child anymore.
Yep, that's when Child Gohan dies.
Yes.
Man, that's so fucked up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are we still recording?
Yeah.
Okay. So this next one, I was like, oh shit, did we not record all that? So this next one is the one of my favorite moments. I'm not going to do the Team 4-Star version because that one's played for laughs really, really well.
Yeah.
But I'll play the original. But for me, it's just one of the things I just fucking love so fucking much. And I can't even fully explain it. And it's the father-son Kamehameha wave.
All right. The father-son Kamehameha. All right, here we go. Damn, that was another great scene from Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
The father-son Kamehameha.
I don't know why, man. I can't fully put into words why I love this scene. There's just something about Goku coming back from the afterlife to motivate his son one last time.
Yeah. It's fucking cool, man. It's fucking excellent.
It's when Team 4 Star was talking about how, Vegeta comes in and, like, blasts him at the last minute to allow Gohan to overtake him. And people always say, oh, it's like Vegeta's win because he's the one that did it and all that stuff. And, like, talking about how, like, Vegeta's a redeemed character. And they said it best. Literally everything that is wrong with this show after he shows up is his fault.
Yeah.
All the bad. Cell was perfect because he allowed him to become perfect. He prevented Trunks from stopping him.
Yeah.
Like, they're in this situation because of his ego. But don't get me wrong. The overarching storyline, as we learned, they even talked about it in the Super, is all of this is Goku's fault.
Yeah, true.
But Vegeta is not exactly...
innocent.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, it is. It's an excellent scene.
All right. For this next one...
Okay.
It's another Dragon Ball, but it's Super this time.
Yeah, all right.
And, I mean, obviously everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
It's Goku going Ultra Instinct.
Oh, yeah, Ultra Instinct. Here we go. Goku goes Ultra Instinct. Yeah, it's another fucking kick-ass fucking sequence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like...
I will disagree with one thing about people saying that this brought back to the moment when Goku first went Super Saiyan.
Mm-hmm.
People need to stop saying that. That is its own moment.
Yeah. This is something different.
This is something different. Not that it's a bad moment.
Right. But it's a different moment.
Yes. Again, we always talk, I always talk about this. It's like what Chris Jericho said. Why be the next? I don't want to be the next.
Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels. I want to be the next Chris Jericho.
Yeah. I want to be the first. Stop focusing on the first Shawn Michaels and being the next Shawn Michaels and being the first Chris Jericho.
Yeah. I think fucking great.
Yeah.
Great line. And like, That's why when I say great moments in anime, it's a moment in its own right. And I don't like to compare them to other moments unless it's like, you know, to talk about.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know, that's my thing. But for this, I don't say, I don't like to compare it to the first time because it's its own thing. Same thing with, we were just talking about Super Saiyan 2.
Yeah.
But anyway, you were saying.
No, I was going to say, I think you're right. I think you said it best. This is its own moment. This is not to be really... I don't think you can even compare it to any other moment because it's a completely different thing.
But to be fair...
To be fair.
It did break the internet.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
So...
But anyway, you were saying?
Anyways, yeah, no, I think that it's its own thing. And there's nothing wrong with people saying anything about it and comparing it to the other thing. But it's not. It's not... It's not its own. It's its own thing, man.
Yeah. But what'd you think of the scene?
That was fucking great. It was a cool scene. I like that scene. I thought the Vegeta speech at the beginning or beforehand was fucking cool.
Oh yeah, it's like him, literally like. It's the whole thing about like, Vegeta doesn't truly become a good guy.
Yeah.
Until he sacrifices himself against Boo.
Yeah.
Even though he turned evil.
Right.
Right beforehand. That was the only way I can... Because to me, he was always the piece of shit.
Right.
That was the moment he turned.
Yeah.
But his hands will always be covered in the blood he spilled.
Yeah, yeah.
And right now, this is him literally sacrificing his pride. Because he sacrificed everything, gave his energy to Goku.
Yeah.
In order to keep the fight going. Because if the universe loses, it's over. Yeah, I just love that scene where he's telling that fucking God of Destruction, hey... You said it yourself. He hasn't mastered it yet.
Yeah, true.
And if you're dumb enough to not see the implication that means, then you don't deserve to be a god.
Yeah, that's a true story.
And he just says, like, this tournament has been going on for 48 minutes.
Yeah.
And in those 48 minutes, not just us, but the Saiyans from other universes have been breaking our limits.
Yeah.
Going further, we are stronger now than we were when the tournament started.
Yeah.
It's like, do you really think he can't do it? And then you see him falling down and you see him starting to tap into it.
Right.
And
yeah.
The guy's like,
yeah, you better do something quick, bitch. Yeah.
And he starts getting nervous. It's like, and I just, my favorite line, that to this day, is probably one of my favorite lines, is like, he goes, do it, Kakarot. Trespass into the realm of the gods, dude. It's just,
yeah,
that's that line goes hard.
It does. It goes super hard.
Because Ocean Instinct is
basically that.
Yeah, because it's a power that all the angels have and above them. And the gods of destruction are trying to learn. Even yeah. Beerus says that he hasn't learned it.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, oh my God, that was such a great line.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, that's my thoughts on it.
Hell yeah.
All right. Next one. Let's go with Naruto.
Naruto. How many more scenes you got?
I got a couple more. But how much time we got?
Well, we're already at 46 minutes, and it's taken us about 2 hours to record this fucking 46 minutes. Because of all the pausing. Huh?
Because of all the pausing.
Yeah, well, that and then, like, you know, we've been watching. Well, these videos haven't been really super long, but, yeah, the pausing and that and stuff.
And taking a shit.
Yeah, and taking a shit.
Category 3 shit.
Category 3 shit.
All right, let's do one, maybe two more, and then we'll call it. And we'll call this part one.
All right. For shizzle. I was going to say, we could just do two parts, yeah. You know, that'd be better.
All right. Go ahead and pause it.
All right. This one will be what, Naruto?
The infamous pain speech.
Okay, here we go. Damn, that's another great scene. The cycle of hatred, basically, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you want peace and justice. I want peace and justice.
I am enacting my peace and judgment. And now you want to enact your peace and judgment on me for that.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen to my people? They're going to want to do that to you.
Right. And it's going to be just this endless fucking cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I kill everybody.
Well, that's what he wants to do. Because yeah. The Akatsuki's plan, not that, is to take all the tailed beasts and basically use them like nukes to...
Yeah, just, destroy everything.
Not destroy everything. Basically use it to, like, sell to other nations. So you could be, hey, here's this new technique we made by using all the tailed beasts. That can wipe out everything. But just let you know, we sold it to the Leaf as well, so...
Yeah.
If you try to use it on them...
They're going
to
use it on you.
Yeah.
That's the way you ensure peace, is mutually assured destruction.
Yes. And...
I mean, that's basically worked in our world. I mean...
But we later find out that was all lies.
Yeah, yeah.
What was really their plan was to absorb all the beasts, revive the Ten Tails, put the Infinite Tsukuyomi on the moon, and take control of the entire world.
Right, yeah. Therefore, creating peace and justice.
Through another means.
Yeah. Right.
Because everybody gets put into the perfect, into their own perfect world.
Yeah. And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
They've become the Matrix.
No, then the tree slowly absorbs them back into it.
Yeah.
Because Kaguya, when she landed on Earth, ate the fruit that the tree bared.
Uh-huh.
And thus she created chakra.
Ah.
And so basically the tree is trying to take back its chakra.
Got it. Yeah, all right.
But yeah, but the whole thing is like, yeah, that speech is like, it's one of the greatest speeches.
It's deep, man. Yeah. It is deep. It's just another reason why fucking Naruto is so great.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, it's a shonen, but like it hits on multiple levels. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's one of the greatest things.
Yeah. Indeed.
All right, then. I guess we'll call it for here.
All right, cool. That was a good fucking... That was fun. So this will be part one.
Yes.
So we're going to do another part, a part two with more great scenes from anime. And maybe I'll slide in a few, too, for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
I'll prepare a list of like, four or five.
Okay.
That I think are great scenes in anime.
And I promise you, I'll try not to ignore them.
How fucking dare you? Anyways, but...
They're going to be ignored, but I promise to try to
ignore them. To not do it. They're going to be ignored, though, but you'll try not to ignore them. Anyways, all right, well, that's going to be the end of this episode. If you want, you can go to GameRageMagazine.com and you can follow and see all of our other podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at GameRageMagazine, Twitter/X at GameRageMag, YouTube, GameRageMagazine. Follow this podcast at Anime_Syndicate_podcast on Instagram. go follow and listen to All Gas No Trash podcast, the music one. You can listen to or follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official. And, you know, go check out Slice of Dice if you like tabletop gaming, D&D, that sort of thing. Also, if you're into Star Wars, go check out the newest episode of Game Rage Star Wars, which will maybe be titled, Is Anyone Still Here? I think that's the name of it. That's what I'm going to call it. That's what we're going to call it. So go listen to that and see, you know, and see if you enjoy it. And then if we get a bunch of fucking listens, then we'll fucking continue doing it. Anyways, that'll be it for us. Thank you, all the agents, for listening. We'll catch you guys on the next one.
Later.